You're a car thief, dude! You're a car thief! Welcome back to Shaked Shakers. Derek Van Shake here. We are doing a Shake podcast on a very, very interesting type of situation here in the automotive community. And even if you're not into the automotive community, I think this will still be kind of interesting because I think we've all had a bad experience at a dealership, or as some may call a stealership. So basically what's happening is this is kind of taking the automotive community by storm. When I was shopping for my Lamborghini last year at this time, I was looking at a lot of places to buy a car, including CNC Motors, who was selling a lot of Lamborghinis, as you can imagine, because if you don't know, CNC Motors specializes in high-end luxury and exotic vehicles. So naturally, they were one of the car companies that I was considering buying a Lamborghini from. And that was last year. I remember when I was going through my buying process, I was contacting some dealerships, and I remember having a very bad feeling about CNC. Keep in mind, that was back then. Over a year ago, I was starting to think, wait, CNC Motors, isn't that the scam company? Aren't they a scam? I started to think that, and I think it was because of all the reviews I was reading. What CNC is mostly known for doing is consignment of cars. So instead of having a car dealership buy the car, person has an exotic car, hey, you want to sell your car, you can bring it over to the dealership, have it on the floor, and then we'll market the car, put it on all the websites, and then try to sell it and have all the means of selling that kind of car. So what CNC Motors does is become a broker for that vehicle. These vehicles are not cheap vehicles. Like, at the minimum, it's probably like around $100,000 is what they work with. I mean, these are very expensive vehicles, and they have a lot of them.
I've borrowed this Diablo Roadster from CNC Motors, which is an exotic car dealership here in Southern California that has everything. And I mean everything, from modern exotics to older ones like this.
This is not some small little car lot you see on some corner. This is major here. What customers are now complaining about is that the dealership, who said that they were going to sell the car, okay, sells the car to a buyer, and the seller of the car doesn't get paid. So you're probably thinking, wait a second, if they don't give the money to the seller, what do they do with the money? That's the big question. Where is the money going if it's not going mostly to the seller? It's kind of unthinkable, right? The seller owns the car, and yet the dealership sometimes doesn't pay the seller for the car they just sold. What? It's their property, and probably a lot of the bank's property too. So you may be wondering about titles and how does the dealership get around that? I think the way they do it is just not send the title to the new buyer. They just don't send it and just like, oh, we don't have the title. The seller just doesn't want to give the title for some reason. Well, the seller didn't get paid for what he sold. So, of course, the seller is not going to give up his title. That's the only thing he has left. So all that's kind of backstory for what we're going to be talking about here. More recently, this YouTube channel called Normal Guy Supercar.
Good morning, YouTube.
I'm not an official subscriber because he owns a Ferrari and mostly talks about Ferraris, and I own a Lamborghini. So there's really not much of a connection there as far as me knowing about what he's going to be talking about. But I occasionally catch up on a video that he puts out. So a couple days ago, he posted a video called Massive Fraud Investigation Against Dealership. Was this Ferrari stolen?
This is Shane, and Shane has a hell of a story.
So this YouTube channel, Normal Guy Supercar, had this guy, Shane, who's a kind of owner of a Ferrari now, because he's kind of in that in-between of where the dealership sold the car, but he still, I guess, still has the title to the car. And the buyer doesn't have the title, but has the car and paid a whole bunch of money to the dealership. And this guy, Shane, comes out and talks about his experience and really kind of crappy experience with the dealership. Yet, he seems like such a nice guy. And he's like, oh, I'm really concerned that my money's gone. I'm like, hey, buddy, your money's long gone. He's out over $100,000. He talks about his experience and that he bought the car from them.
Online one day that they had this 2008 yellow Ferrari F430.
And they were kind of shady, didn't tell him everything. And the car was in terrible condition.
It's running like a turd. It's misfiring.
Then he finally paid thousands of dollars to get his Ferrari F430 fixed.
I'm going to send it to this mechanic. He seems to know what's going on, and he gets the thing running like a champ.
And yet decided to go back to that dealership, CNC Motors, to sell his Ferrari in consignment hoping he can get, you know, about $100,000 for his Ferrari.
They were very anxious to put it on consignment.
Well, I think you kind of guessed it. He puts his Ferrari in consignment on their floor to get sold. It finally sells, and CNC Motors is giving him a total runaround.
And he's, oh, don't worry about that, man. We got your full asking price. So he totally ignores the question. How did he take the car without me signing anything? Listen, we'll get the check mailed out. Got a lot going on. I got to go.
Oh, and don't mind those loan payments that the bank is still requesting from you, even though the car is sold and the bank should have been paid completely to pay off the loan balance.
My wife comes in one day and she says, they paid the car off, right? I was like, yeah. She's like, that's strange because we just got a notice from the bank that there's a late payment on the car.
Shane pressures CNC Motors and the bank gets involved and the bank finally gets confirmation that they're going to get a check from CNC Motors to pay off the balance. They actually send a representative of the bank to CNC Motors to physically pick up the paper check. And then guess what happens? Yeah, you guessed it. The check bounces. Obviously, that's a pretty big deal, and you can kind of get in some big legal trouble with bouncing checks. So what ends up happening is that Shane's interview gets a lot of attention, and a lot of attention on social media, and people are outraged and are like, hey, what the heck, CNC Motors? Pay the guy the money, and what about all these other people? You are a scam, CNC Motors. What the frig? People in the car community are outraged at CNC Motors. So, of course, what happens is that Shane gets a call from the owner of CNC Motors, Clay. Tells him to drive up to the car dealership so he can talk to him face-to-face and resolve this and, you know, try to settle everything. But do you really think he was going to give him any money? No, of course not. Mr. Normal Guy Supercar puts out the video.
Clay started reaching out to me pretty frantically because he knew that I was starting to fish around to some channels. He knew that I was being interviewed.
And it's basically Shane saying, okay, well, everyone needs to lay off on Clay, the owner of CNC Motors.
The point that he made that I thought was valid, if I go bankrupt, nobody gets paid.
He doesn't really have many other options at this point. He already has the police looking into it. He already has an attorney. The bank has tried. He doesn't have any options left. I mean, when someone steals your car and spends the money that they sold on your car and the money's not there anymore, and that's the question, where did that money go? It's just not there, supposedly. Then you don't really have many more options left.
He's got a point. I'm not happy about it because I'm not necessarily wanting to sit here and endorse the guy. But on the other hand, if we cut off his supply of revenue, how would he?
Yeah, it's a really garbage, crappy situation to be in. The car is gone, but the bank is like, hey, you made a mistake giving it to this dealership to sell. And apparently they're a fraud and, you know, the bank had nothing to do with that. So, hey, guy, you know, give us our money. So Shane still needs to make the monthly payments on the Ferrari that he doesn't have anymore. So now in the third video in this whole saga here on Normal Guy Supercar that he's featuring on his channel, it's a pretty good idea because he's getting quite a bit of attention with these types of interviews. So if you want to see the whole interviews, you can go check out his channel. So in this third video of this saga on Normal Guy Supercar channel, he interviews CNC Motors owner Clay.
Welcome, Clay. Clay is the owner of CNC Motors.
I think his name is Daniel from Normal Guy Supercar.
My name is Dan. This is my garage.
He seems to be a nice bloke who's quite high in agreeableness.
I'm just going to kind of give him the platform and let him say what he wants to say.
And doesn't seem to have a journalist degree or has done any hard-hitting type of interviews or has much of a skeptical bone in his entire body.
He seemed very candid and answered everything I asked.
So, of course, to interview this guy, Clay, who's in hot water, you're gonna need to be pretty hard-hitting. And Dan is just like, is such a pushover in this entire interview. He seems to just buy everything he says, like hook, line, and sinker.
He seemed very candid and answered everything I asked.
So we're not gonna be picking apart the body language of every single motion and action in this interview. That's for my other channels if we decide to go there. What we're going to do instead is talk about some of Clay's deceptive tactics.
What transpired that kind of happened?
Not exactly sure. It could be a combination of...
He's so deceptive. A liar doesn't have to be telling you a bold-faced lie. That's actually a very inefficient way of lying. There's a lot easier ways to tell a lie, and that's omitting, distracting, diverting, and embellishing. Those deceptive tactics are a heck of a lot easier to get away with than telling just a bold-faced lie. Saying like, oh, well, the check's in the mail. Not only is he going to get caught on the body language and he needs to worry about all that, but then he needs to worry of what happens when the check isn't delivered. And then he goes on to talking about the history of the dealership.
We've been in this location since right around August of 2018.
To distract and divert the audience and also the interviewer.
Was it a case of too big, too fast?
Maybe we grew too fast and maybe this happened or maybe that happened. Maybe you just tell what happened to that guy's $100,000. Where did that guy's $100,000 go? Did you spend it? Did you gamble it away? Did you send it offshore? Where did the money go, buddy? That was the real question here. And Mr. Normal Guy Supercar was like, he answered the question and that's how he wants to answer it. Oh, okay. Of course he's going to answer it like that. He clearly owes this guy and a whole bunch of other people hundreds and hundreds of thousands of dollars for their supercars, or some people spent money on a car and then they just never got the car, where someone buys a car, sends them the money, and then the owner of the car gets word, this dealership is shady. You may want to take your car back, go into the dealership and tell them, hey, give me my car back, asshole. And they're like, no, we already sold it. And you say, hey, it's not sold until I get the money in my account. Get the hell out of the way, asshole, before I call the cops. Right? That's what I would say. I think you would say the same thing. Because you wouldn't let them ship that car to somebody, because as soon as they ship it, it's out of your possession. You don't have it. You only have the title. You only have the piece of paper and maybe the loan payment.
When you come over here and now you're expected to sell anywhere from 80 to 100 cars a month, it's a lot more to do. It's a lot more to manage. It's a lot more drama.
Oh, the sob story. There's so much more to do when you have a bigger dealership.
It's a lot more drama.
Maybe we grew too fast and maybe this happened or that happened. Hey, buddy, you owe a lot of money.
And then when March came around, it's kind of like, We closed the store for 110 days. We laid off probably 30 of our 40 employees. It could be 2 or 3 years before life goes back to normal.
So here is his first little bogus attempt in saying that, oh, well, it was because of COVID that all this happened. It's COVID. Just blame it on the COVID. I don't know if you know, but the exotic car market, especially like right after March and April with COVID, really skyrocketed. I bought my car on June 25th. 2020. So I was starting to experience the upwards pressure on car sales. You know, you kind of feel it that, hey, wait a second. People are gobbling these cars up. They're not kind of sitting on the market very long anymore type of thing. You can drive around in your car and it's still be quarantined. It's like the one thing you can really do and have fun with that you don't have to actually have the government's permission to do. The government can't stop you from driving around in your fancy sports car. They can shut down bars, restaurants, and a whole bunch of other things. But they can't tell you not to drive around in your fancy sports car.
If I could go back to March again and do it again, I wouldn't be in this position. But I did the best I could during that time.
What he also does, which is very effective, to get Normal Guy Supercar Dan not to go hard on him, is really to do what? Hands up. Oh, I'm sorry. I didn't mean to do anything. We're going to try to make the situation better. Basically, plead mercy.
I was so disappointed that I caused so much pain in his life.
But it's very effective, because what happens is he's trying to get people not to come after him. And he's trying to get Normal Guy Supercar to go easy on him too.
If everyone's just chanting, you know, let it burn and let your company fail, the people who are currently owed money won't ever see a cent.
Correct.
The only thing that comes of that situation is you, your family, and any employees that you have are now without jobs. That's it.
We're naturally going to feel some mercy towards that person. And that's what Clay here is trying to do with everybody, including the viewers, you.
All the rights will be wronged.
And then he says all the rights will be wronged.
All the rights will be wronged.
That doesn't seem like it was the correct saying there. It seems to be a Freudian slip. I think the saying is, all the wrongs will be made right. Isn't that the saying? You have nothing to worry about because all the rights will be wronged.
All the rights will be wronged.
This guy!
All the rights will be wronged, and there won't be anybody standing there saying what happened.
He's very much diverting and distracting, and trying to omit and not talk about really the issue, because for him, he surely feels like, hey, that's just kind of makes my dealership look bad if I start talking about, oh yeah, I was selling cars and taking the whole value of the car as pocket change for the dealership. What? This is majorly criminal on many levels. It's basically like giving your money to a financial advisor, and that financial advisor, instead of investing it like he's telling you he will do, he goes and pockets the money for himself.
I'm fighting the people that don't want to see me make it.
A lot of people are really pissed off that he is legitimately a car thief. That is what he is.
Crazy on the amount of people that would rather see the crash and burn versus the success story.
A car thief with a dealership. I mean, there's nothing else to say about it. He takes a car, he sells the car illegally, he pockets the money. Yet he is claiming here now complete victimhood.
Only been about, we've got a target. We've got somebody to crush.
Oh, poor me. It's really tough. You're a car thief, dude! You're a car thief!
I haven't been attacked like this before, ever. I can't overcome the rumors and the bad press.
You know, people are after me for being a car thief! Dang it!
Ever since these guys, you know, decided they wanted to try and take us down, ruin us.
No, buddy, I don't think they're out just for pure hate like he's trying to frame it as. They're coming after you, and I'm coming after you here in this video because you are a car thief. A major, major car thief.
I haven't been attacked like this before, ever.
Oh, people are being mean to him because he's a car thief.
I'm now getting through a vicious year and having to prove to every single person that I talk to that I don't have a 70-foot yacht.
But that's a very common tactic of a narcissist and some other issues, mental issues, to divert the blame. He's trying to get you and the interviewer, Mr. Normal Guy Supercar, Mr. High in Agreeableness and Gullibleness, to not pressure him.
We've got somebody to crush.
Yeah,
that's what it's been about.
There are a lot of people who just want to watch the world burn.
Giving him more time to figure a way out of this. I don't know how exactly he's going to try to get out of this, at least temporarily, but he's probably going to try something, and I don't think it's going to be a very permanent type of solution. I'm sure he's in the hole millions of dollars. Millions of dollars. It's nearly impossible to get out of that kind of hole. The reality is that this man is not getting out of this hole. So the only chance he has is just to buy time. Figure something out. Maybe make a deal with the mob. Maybe bringing in new customers to pay off old customers. In a sense, a Ponzi scheme, a pyramid scheme. Yeah, that's what I can think. Guess what? I don't think a bank is going to be lending him a dime. If you were a bank, would you be like, oh, well, you weren't paying your customers and you weren't paying everything that was due and all these other banks are after you. Oh, yeah, well, let's loan you about $5 million. And even if it's a business problem, even if it is, he just ran the company into the ground and it's going under now. Even if it is that, do you think a bank would want to be lending to a business that's being run into the ground?
I find myself for the first time ever having to prove that. If it was out of my hands, it was out of my hands.
More sob story to try to get you to feel bad for him. Try to get the interviewer to feel bad for him.
There is all the goodwill and all the things that you've done prior to this are immediately erased and are considered invalid.
We've got somebody to crush.
Yeah,
that's what it's been about.
To try to get everyone to go a little bit lighter on him, so that he can skate away from this and buy more time. Instead of actually addressing the issues head on, you were given $100,000 that wasn't yours. What did you do with it, buddy? What did you do with it? And that's the question he's not answering, is where's the money? What did he do with it? And why isn't he giving the money back? And I'll tell you exactly what I think happened to that money. It was to pay off older customers that were already screaming and crying that they weren't getting paid. So in effect, in my personal opinion here, it's a Ponzi scheme or a pyramid scheme where everything's going good. Everyone gets paid until the tide goes out. And the very last people in are the ones who never get paid in a Ponzi scheme. And that's what seems to have happened here. As Warren Buffett famously said, when the tide goes out, you find out who's actually swimming naked. And that tide going out in that analogy here is COVID during March, April, and May. 3 months, they probably didn't sell hardly anything because they were in California in lockdown and they didn't have an opportunity to sell as much as they were selling all the time. So what ended up happening is that new customers weren't coming in all the time anymore to pay off existing customers, making the hole in their balance sheet extremely apparent. The big question is, how big is that hole in their balance sheet? Is it just $100,000? No, it's not. There's a lot more customers that are coming forward saying that they haven't gotten paid by CNC Motors. So I would guess, given the dollar value of those cars, I would guess it would be in the millions. Millions of dollars. Unfortunately, I believe that this is a Ponzi scheme, 100%. In my personal opinion, when new customers dry up in a Ponzi scheme, it's all over. It's over. It all crashes down pretty quickly. I hope it's not a Ponzi scheme, but sure the hell seems like one. If it is, you're not getting your money back. This is financial fraud on many levels, not just, oh, well, I just bounced a check and, oh, well. No, no, this is serious. I think he's clearly a narcissist and surely believes that he can actually get out of this.
We have a couple large amount of money, large amounts.
And not be on the CNBC TV show American Greed.
In this episode of American Greed, Bobby Kahn runs a New Jersey dealership featuring cars so exotic, if you have to ask the price, you can't afford it.
This is where it's going. American Greed. I'm calling it right now. That's the way it seems right now. I hope I'm wrong. I hope I'm wrong. I really do. But it has all the makings of a Ponzi scheme. All of it. And if he goes and claims, well, I didn't live a very lavish lifestyle. I just lived in a nice house in Southern California and drive some nice cars and sent my kids to nice private schools. And, you know, I went on some nice vacations and I didn't 100%, you know, bag tens of millions of dollars and lived a crazy type of lifestyle. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter. The law doesn't care. The reality is that it's fraud. You stole that money and you're going to jail, buddy. Now in the comments, what would you do if you were a victim in this and they sold your car, you still have the title to the car, someone else has the car, and they paid the dealership the money, but you, with the title, never got paid your money, and you're still getting billed by the bank every month for car payments? Let everyone know in the comments below. Also, if you want to see a main channel video on this, let me know in the comments below. If you're not already subscribed, hit that subscribe button now because we don't want to miss out on new Shaked podcasts that are more conversational on body language and investigations. And I'll see you at the top.